Oh, we chuckle at that and we laugh at that. And trust me, I thought at half about putting the camera back there and putting the kid back there with the marshmallow and seeing how long our kids could last. Be funny to put some adults back there. And that's actually a scientific experiment they did just a few years back. They took some children at random and they put them in a room with a marshmallow with a promise that if you didn't eat the marshmallow until the attendant came back, that you could have two. But they only had to sit there for 5 minutes. Isn't it amazing that the marshmallow just seemed to become the focal point of everything? Well, we're going to talk about that marshmallow today. But we're going to talk about it in the context of understanding self-control. Now, we've been looking at the fruit of the Spirit, and we're going to finish up this series today. And you have to understand where we've been. We started with going inside the fruit, the love, joy, and peace. And I thought it very apropos this morning that when we went to Sunday school, that Rich kind of gave us a refresher course on the idea of these first inside aspects of the fruit, the idea of love, and how love feeds into joy, and joy feeds into peace. And if you don't get the basis down, if you don't have the inside right, then you know what? The outside just doesn't seem to work at all. And as you get the inside right, when you move from the inside to the outside, you begin to connect with this idea of patience. The idea that I have to be the ability to wait. 5 minutes isn't a long time. It really isn't. Unless you're in a room and you're under the age of 10 and there is a nice, sugary, coated, sweet-smelling marshmallow right there on the plate in front of you. 5 minutes has got to seem like forever. They weren't very patient. I love the way some of them kind of substituted eating the marshmallow for licking the marshmallow. Or they tried to nibble on the bottom of it and turn it right side up so that nobody could see they actually snuck a little bite. The ability to be patient. Then we took the approach of we looked at the inside, we looked at the connecting part. Now we want to look at the peel. We want to look at the outside. So we took a look at kindness, goodness, faithfulness, and gentleness all in 1 week on the backdrop of the Good Samaritan. And we understood that these ideas of these words were this perpetual idea of compassion and pouring that compassion out. And well, today we are going to look at the fruit of the fruit, self-control. This is the goal of what the Spirit is trying to do in our life. When you connect all of the pieces together, when you have the fruit as a whole, the love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, and I think I got them all, you get self-control. I can't say it as fast as they said in that song today. I ran out of breath doing that. But you connect them all, and what you're going to get out of this is self-control. Now, self-control is simply defined as the ability to control oneself, in particular, one's emotions, desires, or expressions of them in one's behavior, especially in difficult situations. And I want to gray out all of it except for the important part of this. Self-control is the ability to control emotions, desires, and behavior. Self-control is the ability, as you were sitting there in that room and you're staring at that marshmallow, and oh, it looks so good. I got a confession to make. I can't stand marshmallows. I don't like the taste of my kids and my wife, they love these little things called Peeps. They're these little candy-coated marshmallows that come out at Easter, and now they decided to make them where they come out at other, like Christmas, they made them in the trees and everything like that. I can't stand these things. But I also have to make a confession. As I was sitting there last night, and I was stuffing marshmallows in the little bags, getting, oh, it smelled oh so good. It really did. And even though I didn't like marshmallows, I found myself at the end, not when I was still stuffing, starting to lick the sugar off of my fingers, because my fingers were almost white by the final time. But to control yourself, to control your emotions. How many times has your emotions gotten the better of you? Whether it be sorrow or whether it be anger, you just become overwhelmed. How many times is your desire? You see something and you know it's not really what you want to do. It's not what you should be doing, but you do it anyway. those desires take control. Or your behavior. You just kind of get a little bit out of control in what you're doing. And first thing you know, you're exactly where you don't want to be. Well, the Bible tells us that if we put all of this fruit of the Spirit together, what we gain is the ability to control all of that. Now, that's important because there are some symptoms of being out of control. We focus a lot on that Galatians chapter 5, 22 and 23. But if you back up to Galatians chapter 5, verses 19 through 21, it gives us some definitive symptoms of what you see if your life has gone out of control. The acts of the flesh are obvious. Sexual immorality, impurity, and debauchery, adultery, witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissension, factions and envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. Now there are some words that I'm not going to bother to explain today because this is Kids Sunday. But there are some words in that list that you can see that probably jump out as things that can sometimes characterize our life. Whenever we read this list, we always like to focus on the biggies, the ones that we can say I'm not guilty of. But note, the list is all equal, and it says that jealousy, fits of rage, dissensions, factions, envy, all of these things show a lack of self-control. It means you are controlled by the things that are outside of you. So this morning, we want to focus on self-control. And well, first thing I want to focus on is the marshmallows. Now, by the way, I just want to let you know the marshmallows were really just my clever way. I knew the kids were going to be up here. And I know they usually have a snack during Super Church. And this was just my clever way of getting a snack in their hands. So if you want to eat the marshmallows, knock yourself out, okay? There isn't a second one coming. There's no reward if you don't eat your marshmallow, okay? So if you want a marshmallow, they're all around you. You can have one or two or as many as your parents are willing to let you have. Okay, but I want to talk about the marshmallow because as we watch that video, how we deal with our self-control issues is sometimes exactly how the kids dealt with sitting in that room staring at the marshmallow. Avoid the temptation. Stay away from the marshmallow. Didn't you like the little kid that sat there and there was the marshmallow and he was looking away? I'm not going to look at it. It's not really there. There's no marshmallow saying eat me. But then what did he kind of do? Oh yeah, it's still there, but I'm not eating it. And we do this. We find ourselves in difficult situations, and this is how we decide to deal with our self-control issue. We're going to just avoid it. I'm just going to stay away from it. I know it's a problem area. I know it's difficult for me, so I'm just going to pretend it doesn't even exist. There's another way that we try to deal with this. We distract ourselves, don't we? We don't focus on the marshmallow. Now, this isn't just staying away from it. We're not going to focus on it. We're going to just bury our heads. Didn't you like the way the kids were doing that? I'm going to look down. Did you like the way they started sniffing them? Would you really want to eat a marshmallow after you sniffed it? Yep. I don't think, okay, yep. But not if you sneezed on it. But we do this. Sometimes we try to put other things in our path to distract us from the fact that we are struggling with self-control. We have other things that we try to focus on. It's almost like we're trying to give ourselves sensory overload. Put so much in our lives, so much in our way, so much out there that we just distract ourselves and we don't realize that our life is out of control because it's just way too much going on in our life. How about this one? Build a barrier. Place something between you and the marshmallow. Do you ever do this with the problems in your life? Didn't you see the kid? He was sitting there, and what did he do with his hands? He covered the marshmallow. I don't see any marshmallow. There's no marshmallow talking to me. Uh-uh, there's no marshmallow that wants to be eaten here. So we cover it up, and we just try to hide it. We try to put something between me and the marshmallow. And we do the same thing with the struggles in our life. We just try to put some barrier there. Something that will separate me from the marshmallow. Something that will remove the temptation from my life. How about if we create an if-then plan? Don't we do this? Now, the plan for these kids was put out, right? If you don't eat the marshmallow, then when I come back, you get two marshmallows. That's what they were told. If you can wait just a little while, if you can wait to be gratified, if you cannot eat the marshmallow, then I'll give you another one. You know, we do this on diet plans as adults. Don't kid yourself. You know, if I diet all during the week, then I'm allowed to splurge a little bit on the weekend, right? Isn't that how we do it? Problem is, if you really added it up, you probably splurged so much you wiped out the entire week before. That's the way we diet. Isn't this how we do with our money sometimes? Well, if I save and save and save and I just put away, then you know what? It's okay if I buy this thing that I really have no business buying because I saved for that. We make plans in our life that gratifies us, and we think just because we were able to hang on to it for a little while, that means we have some semblance of self-control. But really all we were doing was still working toward the same goal. See, all of this comes down to this word willpower. That's what we usually base our self-control on. We base it on my ability. What I think I can handle. What I think I want. The problem with willpower is that, well, eventually it becomes won't power. You only can have so much willpower, and when it continues to overtake you, when it continues to be right there in front of you, eventually, you know what? You eat the marshmallow. Eventually, if you sat there long enough, you cannot resist what's right there in front of you. I don't care what you do. Those things that Satan put in front of our lives, those things that Satan are trying to distract us with, those things that Satan wants us to do, those things that lead to the works of the flesh, left right in front of you, you just trying to resist, you coming up with plans, let me tell you how that's going to end. You will fail. You will fail because right off the bat, there are some barriers to how we try to do self-control. The first one is stress. Like a city whose walls are broken through is a person who lacks self-control. You know what stress does to your life? You know what stress is. Stress is the ability to control something that's uncontrollable. Okay? You are trying to control something that's totally out of your control, and since you can't control it, and by the way, this is coming from a control freak, so I understand the concept of stress. When you can't control it, stress begins to build. And as stress begins to build and you can't get control of it, then you know what? Eventually you just give up. You quit. You can't continue to do it. And so it says that your walls begin to break down. Those barriers that you build up, those things that you built to try to have some self-control in your life, those defense mechanisms, they begin to break down. And you begin to give in to self-control. You begin to lose what control you have. And all of a sudden, that thing you're looking at, the marshmallow just goes from the little bitty mini marshmallows to the great big marshmallow that's sitting there, and you're like, what's the point? I just can't deal with it. My stress levels are too high. And the funny thing is, as your stress levels begin to break, those other parts of the fruit begin to evaporate. Have you ever tried to be kind when you're stressed? Doesn't work so well, does it? Have you ever tried to be patient when you're stressed? That doesn't work so well. Have you ever tried to love somebody when you're totally stressed out? It doesn't work that way. So this barrier to self-control, the idea of stress in our lives, well, it breaks us down. And it leads to another thing. It's called frustration. Proverbs chapter 16, 32 says, better a patient person than a warrior, one with self-control than one that takes a city. Frustration is the desire to get what you want when you want it, but then it doesn't happen. And that impacts my ability to have self-control, because remember, self-control is about controlling my emotions. Self-control is about controlling my actions. Self-control is about controlling my behavior. It's something that I should be able to control, but when I become frustrated, I don't control any of those things. See, when I begin to try self-control my way by building these mechanisms, when I become frustrated, those mechanisms won't hold. It's like the little Dutch boy standing at the dam and they see the little hole poking through. And he pokes one finger in, and then another hole pokes, and then you poke another hole finger in. And eventually, you run out of fingers. Maybe you take off your shoes and try some toes for a little while. But eventually, the water just won't hold, and the frustration begins to build, and your willpower goes away, and you break. That's what happens when we try to do self-control our way. How about this one? Loneliness. 1 Corinthians, Paul writes this to the married couples. 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 5. Do not deprive each other except perhaps in mutual consent for a time, so that you may devote yourselves to prayer. Then come together so that Satan will not tempt you because of your lack of self-control. Now, he writes that to married couples, and he's telling them, hey, look, you've entered into this relationship, and it's not good for you to separate yourselves for long lengths of time. Because I understand you lack self-control. You see, we enter into relationships because way back in the Garden of Eden, it says that it's not good for man to be alone. And so when we begin to get lonely, those works of the flesh, those things that characterize unself-control, the idea of jealousy, the idea of fits of rage, loneliness feeds into all of that. When I feel lonely, what is my solution for not feeling lonely? To draw attention to myself. So to draw attention to myself, I may start participating in things just to kind of get your attention. You see, this idea of building barriers, the problem is Satan has a solution for all of our barriers. You want to try to avoid it? I'll overwhelm you with it. You want to try to build a barrier? I'll frustrate you with it. You want to try to distract yourself? I'll stress you out about it. I will keep going and keep going and keep going until this willpower barrier that you think is going to protect your fruit of the Spirit is broken down. That's what I'm going to do to your life. And we've seen it over and over and over and over again in lives. We have seen people that have lost self-control. They've lost their ability to control themselves, and in doing so, they have damaged their life. So what I want to do is try to show you the importance of understanding how self-control really works in your life. If you have your copy of God's Word, turn to Genesis chapter 3, verses 4 through 5. This is a verse we ran through several times. We're all the way back to the beginning of time. You wonder why I keep wiping. I put my notes out before they fix the ceiling, so I've got little pieces of thing I'm wiping off so I can read my notes here. So just bear with me. I'm wiping because I'm still getting rid of some of the dust here. did y'all know that dust sticks to that the roofing dust sticks to paper very easily? Okay. All right. So here we go. You will not certainly die. This is Satan talking to Eve. The serpent said to the woman, "For God knows that when you eat of it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good from evil." It's a subtle promise that's made here. I want to paint the picture of what's going on in the Garden of Eden up until this point. Here is Adam and Eve. Do they have self-control? They're in complete control because they're in complete fellowship with God. They get to walk and talk every single day with God. They get to have strolls through the garden, and they get to pick God's mind about this or that or the other. They can ask the question like, "God, what did you really think? Were you really thinking when you created a wasp? I don't understand their value." You know, they can ask all those questions, and here they are, and all of a sudden the serpent shows up, and he says, "You know what? You're missing the big picture here, Eve. You're missing the big picture here, Adam. You see, God gave you a rule. He told you not to eat of that tree." Isn't it funny? There were all these trees they could eat out of, but this one tree the serpent centered in on. God said, "Don't eat of that one." Well, let me tell you why he didn't want you to eat it. Because the second you eat of that one, then you'll be in control. You won't have to worry about God's control anymore. You will be in control. You will be in control because you will know the difference between good and evil. People, you don't need God. You just need to eat of the tree so that you can understand what it means to know the difference between good and evil. And then you can make your own decisions. You can take God out of the equation completely. That was the temptation that was being laid out there. You know, they make these movies and these TV shows that where they're going back in time, they change one event, and it has the ripple effect all the way up. You ever wonder what the ripple effect would be if Adam and Eve had just walked away from the tree? How much would life have changed if they had just decided to let God control their life? If they had let God's commands to provide them self-control, if they had focused on what God had said and the idea that they already understood the difference between good and evil, didn't they? Good is following what God said, and evil is doing what God says don't do. That's good and evil. So if they had just taken that moment, how much different would our life be? There wouldn't be a clothing industry. I'll give you that one. Okay? We would probably all not be sitting here today. I don't know where we would be, but life would be so different. But the importance of self-control is the moment you decide that you can tell the difference between good and evil all by yourself, then you know what? You failed. And you can build all the little mechanisms you want, and you can buy yourself a whole crate full of stress balls, and you can buy yourself everything you want in the world. But let me tell you what's going to eventually happen. You're going to break down. Because self-control is understanding the value of God's control. You see, self-control is just not this fixed trait. We think self-control is I've got it or I don't. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 5 through 9 has a different aspect of self-control. And this is where I really want to spend a little chunk of time focusing this morning. For this reason, make every effort to add to your faith goodness, and to the goodness, knowledge, and the knowledge, self-control, and the self-control, perseverance, and perseverance, godliness, and godliness, mutual affection, and mutual affection, love. For it is possible these qualities are increasing measure. They will keep you from being ineffective. Does not have them ineffective and unproductive. And in your knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. But whoever does not have them is nearsighted and blind, forgetting that they have been cleansed from their past sins. Now, there's a lot in that. When you read that, how many aspects of the fruit of the Spirit do you see? If you just pick out the words, do you see them floating around in there? They're all kind of bunched in there together. But what I want you to see is this idea of self-control, this putting the pieces together and knowing self-control, it takes effort. It does. If you're going to be a person known for having self-control, you are going to have to put some effort into it. You are going to have to put some of your time into it, and it's going to take some knowledge, according to this verse. You're going to have to learn some things about yourself. You're going to have to learn some things about your environment. You're going to have to learn some things about God. It isn't something that you're just going to wake up one morning and ta-da, self-control. That's not the way it works. It's something you're going to have to gradually work into, and it's going to take perseverance. Now, that's important. It's important especially for people like me who struggle with self-control a lot. Because perseverance means that I'm going to have some failures along the way. It means I am going to have some struggles. I am going to have those days where I wake up and it doesn't all fit together. There are going to be some times when I look like I am not in control because I am persevering through some difficult times. So don't think that just because the fruit of the Spirit has self-control in it, that it means you're always going to be self-controlled. It says it's going to take some godliness. Now, this is the important one. You try to have self-control with no God, you will have no control at all. Because you have to understand that God's in control of everything. God knows what is good. God knows what is around the next corner. God knows what's going to happen to you. And if you just write God out of the equation, Peter tells us, well, self-control isn't going to work for you very well. You're going to kind of melt as it goes down. It's going to take some mutual affection. That's not a good sound. We're having all kind of little buzzes this morning. I'm going to cut the lapel. There you go. Well, this is an interesting morning. You're going to have mutual. Now, that means I got to stay put now. You realize that I can't wander around very much now. Do what?
It's the marshmallows. That's what it is. It's the marshmallows' fault. But you see, I'm in control. I'm not getting stressed about it. I'm not getting frustrated about it. See, this is the object lesson. Okay. Mutual affection. You have to, if you're going to have self-control, then you have to have a mutual relationship with God going on here. It's got to be a give and take. You've got to take your problems to God as well as listen. It's got to be some mutual affection in what's going on there. You've got to go back and forth with God. You can't live on an island. It has to be always increasing. Now that's a big deal. I can have a certain amount of self-control today, but as I look 5 years down the road, you know what? If this fruit is flourishing, I should be more self-controlled. And he gives us two questions that we should ask in that verse there. He wants to know, are you ineffective and unproductive? Have you ever had one of those days where it just wasn't very a productive day? You had this great plan lined out in your life, and you know what? It just didn't go the way you thought it would, and it was just unproductive. It was ineffective. You're not doing what you should be doing. And then you just feel like you're going to lose control. It just begins to unfold and begins to go away. You see, losing self-control, it's about forgetting commitment. If I decide that I'm going to take control, I'm going to do it my way, I'm not going to be controlled by anything but myself. See, that's the oxymoron in this. There really is no such thing as pure self-control. It's about a commitment to a relationship. Why do we live the way we do in marriage? Well, because we made a commitment to our partner, right? Why do we live the way we do when we go to work and we do our jobs and we do what we're supposed to do? Because we made a commitment to the employer. Why do we live our life the way that we should be living it for God? Because we make a commitment to God. And when I lose my self-control, when I decide to go my own way, when I decide to consume the marshmallow at my pace, even though God says, wait 5 minutes, then we miss out on the idea that God had asked for a commitment from us. And ultimately, it destroys our fruit. We begin to see the fruit mellowing down as we lose our self-control, and then we watch all of our inward stuff go away, and we watch the love and the joy and the peace, and it just evaporates. See, I call this the fruit of the fruit. I got to come down here. I'll talk about that. He'll pick up on the microphone. We've done this before. I call self-control the fruit of the fruit. See, we make self-control about the marshmallow. We make self-control about dealing with what's in the bag. God, if you can just get me past this marshmallow that I got, I can take back home. But it's not really about the marshmallow, is it? I mean, it's not about this marshmallow, because once I eat this marshmallow, then guess what? There's another one. And then there's another one. It's not about what's put in our path. It's about learning how to deal with what's put in our path in such a way that we reflect God back through the world. That's what self-control is. That is the goal of the fruit of the Spirit. So when somebody looks at your life as a whole, we begin to see how much we love people, how much we experience joy, how much we have peace, how much that peace feeds in the fact that we can be patient in all situations, how much the fact that we have love, joy, and peace, giving patience that gives us compassion, so that we could flow out that goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and kindness. I want you to see the little bitty step it can take. If I've got all of those other things going, how hard is self-control? Not very, is it? If I've already experienced love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, aren't you impressed? And gentleness, sorry, I forgot. And gentleness, self-control isn't that difficult. Because as I've given my life over to all the other parts of the fruit, self-control is easy. Because now God's in control, we've allowed the Spirit into our life. So here's what I want you to think about today. By the way, you can take marshmallows home with you if you want, because they're not coming to my house. Okay, because my kids are not going to eat 70 marshmallows. This is my house. Okay, well, okay, they might try, but I'm not sitting around the house if they eat 70 marshmallows. Okay, but here's what I want you to consider today here in our final decision. This isn't going to be a long decision time. Ask yourself, who do you want to control your life? Do you really want yourself to be in total control of your life, or do you want your self-control to flow through God so that God can mold your life and move you along the path? Because The moment you take control of the wheel, you're headed for the ditch. So this morning, I want you to ask yourself, who is in control of my life, and am I willing to give that control over to God so that I can experience true self? Would you please stand? We're going to pray.